We have a story that is just in the Twilight Zone. And first of all, I just want to say on the top before I go there, we're going to look at the strange case of Jessica Agawi, Ghawi, if you want to look it up, and possible association with Erica Kirk. And I'm going to say off the top, I'm not accusing Erica Kirk of doing anything wrong, malicious, suspicious, or contriving in this case. It's bizarre that this came up. And I was doing research on something else with TPUSA's possible associations with other events that I've heard Candace talk about, and I wanted to go check them out. And I'm not going to say what those are right now because they're in the speculative phase. And given the apparent litigious manner that TPUSA is acting in to silence people, I'm not going to give them any ammo. But if I find something, I'm going to stand behind it. But this particular case was bizarre beyond bizarro, involving Jessica Gawi, and it could bring in Erica Kirk, and not in a causational or plotting manner, none whatsoever. Legally, she's as innocent can be on this, as far as I can tell. It's just as you do research, sometimes you find things that are so bizarre, and I'm going to present what I found. And I'm also going to ask for help from the general public because my gut tells me there's something there. And I'm not saying there's something there with TPUSA or with Erica Kirk, but there's something bigger here that we didn't see. My name is Dave Hodges, and hello to our friends in America and around the world. Welcome to the Common Sense Show. We are the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we have a tremendous opportunity for you right here. I got to show you this because, or at least talk to you about this because this is so dramatic. Everyone's all over the GLP and what it can do for weight loss. And it's true. It's true. I've read there's a few residual side effects, but I'm not convinced the research on that is solid. Not with this product, but with the injections. And the injection is often associated with diabetic treatment. This has nothing to do with injections. It has nothing to do with diabetes, except it does help regulate your blood sugar. The GLP-1 levels unlock weight loss results like you wouldn't see, and they come in capsule form. And this is so fantastic. This is unbelievable. I won't read the testimonials here, but look at the results. And these are clinical trials. 56% increased GLP-1 levels with this over the injections. 65% or almost two-thirds increased diet appetite suppression. That's satiety they're talking about there. Decreased caloric intake accounts to about 20% after taking it. You lose an average of almost 9 pounds in 8 weeks. Greater fat, about four times greater fat body loss, waist circumference reduction. Average body weight reduction in 12 weeks is about 14% off. The product is available for 44% off. And I want you to go to trimwithdave.com. That's trimwithdave.com. And you can look at all the data. Let me just give you an example right here. I'm looking at a chart. You can get the how much it GLP boosts the product, this particular product, how much weight loss, body weight circumference, body weight reduction, and how the hormone works to keep your body full. And this is all clinical research. You get 44% off, 60-day money back guarantee. Go to trimwithdave.com. That's trimwithdave.com. Okay, I've got to go to a source here. Let me see if I can pull it up. This is out of the Twilight Zone, people. And I want to say this. I'm going to talk about a young lady named Jessica Gawi. And I've read that her mom is upset by conspiratorial speculations on Jessica. And I completely want to respect that. But Jessica was inadvertently and to her detriment involved in two bizarre incidences 7 weeks apart. I don't believe in coincidences. And I'll go through when I'm done presenting the facts, I'll go through and I'll talk about the steps I've taken to find out, are there connections? And I've hit dead ends. I mean, loose associations, and Erica Kirk's name came up, but not in a conspiratorial criminal way whatsoever. Completely honest and innocent here. And I'm not even sure the association is accurate in terms of the identity of who Erica could have been referring to that was at the Batman shooting in 2012. And that's what we're going to get into right here. Okay, we're looking at Jessica Nicole Gaw. We all saw, and her pen name was Jessica Redfield. She was a rising star sports writer. I mean, for her age, the rise was phenomenal. It was meteoric, incredible. And I've read some of her stuff. I wanted to get a sense of her, and I feel a sense of loss. When I look at young people like this that we lost far too early, I'm thinking about she could have brought fun and joy and critical analysis to her field. She was indeed extremely gifted, and she was very charitable. When the Colorado wildfires, I know this very well, this story very well, south of the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, and killed all these horses and took some properties. And she was very moved by it. She was then, she I think she had finished up her degree at Metropolitan State in Denver, and she went into fundraising to raise money for sports equipment for the child survivors. That's the kind of person she was. And then at the same time in 2012, before her death, she was sending out tweets asking how to set up a charitable foundation to donate to people's needs. Now, there are some conspiratorial theorists, and I think they're way off the mark here. I think they're just full of nonsense. They've said that her starting a charity would have conflicted with Teep USA, and Charlie's handlers would have dealt with her. That's nonsense. That's total garbage. There's no truth in that. She was sports oriented. She was a hockey enthusiast. She had a boyfriend that was a minor league hockey player. In fact, let's get into that right now. Okay. And listen, I don't like reporting this, but this is so strange. I feel compelled to pursue it. This one of the striking aspects, and I'll just read right here from Gawi's story, was the entire coincidence involving two mass shootings that she was connected to in a 7-week period. Wow, what are the odds of that? On June 2nd, 2012, while visiting Toronto to see her minor league hockey player boyfriend, she was at the Eaton Centre Mall, and she described having an odd feeling of impending doom, prompting her to leave the food court just minutes before a gunman opened up, killing two people and injuring others. She later reflected in a blog, Late Night Thoughts on the East Eaton Center shooting. She emphasized how the experience taught her to cherish every moment of life, and she had 7 weeks of life left. And this was just beyond the pale. Now, I'm going to get into this even further with Jessica, but I have to tell you, I have my own experience in this because I deeply immersed myself in the event that will eventually take her life. And I'm going to talk about that now. I did not know about Jessica at this time. Okay, so she writes the post, and she decided to go with a friend named Brent Lowak. And I hope I'm still saying Brent's name correctly. And they went to the Century 16 Theater in Aurora, Colorado. I grew up a mile and a half from there. I know the area like the back of my hand. Now, the official account says that the police at the Batman shooting, now you say, oh, I know what that is now, of which James Holmes was the shooter, right? And it was the screening for Batman. There's a police substation about 70, 80 yards from the theater across a parking lot in the Aurora Mall. I don't know if that mall is still in existence. It was 5 or 6 years ago when I met the late Paul Martin for lunch in the same mall. About a mile and a quarter, mile and a half at the most, there's a large Aurora police substation. They could have been on the scene in 90 seconds and they made the claim, but the survivors And other people in the other theaters, they heard the shots and they said it took 15, 20 minutes for the police to get there. Now, I wasn't there, but I'm telling you, the citizen accounts don't match the official police report that says we were there in 90 seconds. Now, Jessica, and I don't want to be graphic, but I think it's germane to look at this because I'm wondering if she wasn't specifically targeted and the other people were ancillary victims to cover up the true intent. Everybody else is shot once. They get shot, both the fatal and the wounded. Jessica was shot six times. That jumped out at me as I began to research this story. And this was July 20th of 2012, 7 weeks after she had a premonition of doom to get away from that shooting in Toronto. Now, let me just say this before we go to the premonition of doom and not consider it to be valid. It's highly significant. If you go to the web and look up the Princeton Engineering Anomalies Research, and just coincidentally, not knowing I was going to do this story, I just talked about this in recent past. It was called PEAR, PEAR for short. And I'm going to digress for a second because there's a lesson, even if nothing comes of this investigation, there's a lesson there for everybody here, you and me and everybody. Because we have early warning detection systems that tell us when danger is coming. And it's been proven through 30 years of scientific research out of Princeton and other places. But Princeton was the big one. And I'll give you the history of it because I've researched this pretty thoroughly. Joanne Burkhalter, who in the 1980s was a marine biologist researcher at North Carolina State. And she was looking, I forget the exact biological name of the fish, but we call them killfish. They're highly aggressive, much like a piranha fish. And she noticed accidentally when they'd have the light on in the outer lab area, and the light would come through the door and shine on the aquarium, the fish could see its reflection and would violently attack the glass, thinking it was a predator. And so she thought, I'm not getting paid to do this, and I'm on a paid research consultancy. But she said, I'm going to research this. Will the desire for self-survival and how aggressive they'll be in going after a reflection in hard glass, will that override the extreme instinct to attack and kill on the part of this killfish? So this is what she tried to find. And this was bizarre. This is what will lead to the Princeton experiment. So she set up a computer on a random generator. So where a light would come on an unpredictable fashion, so the fish could not be conditioned to the pattern. So the light would come on maybe at 4 seconds, at 30 seconds, at 97 seconds, at 3 minutes, and it would vary. So there's no predictability. And sure enough, every time the fish would do that. And then they tried to examine the fish as best they could to look for any kind of neurological damage, and they found some. And so they were starting to determine that aggression was overweighing, survival. But this is not where the experiment gets bizarre. The laptop was programmed to be coming on an intermittent fashion. Okay? The programming was violated and it sped up. So instead of that random pattern I just cited, it might start coming on every 20 seconds, 30 seconds, and then that random kept reducing. Well, Burkholder thought, oh, okay, something's wrong with my software. Change the software out. The same phenomena happened again. Well, it's got to be the computers. So she changed the computers out. The same thing happened again. She threw her arms up and go, I'm not getting paid for this. I got to move on. Well, she had a friend who was an engineer on the Princeton faculty, and she told him the story. And she said, jokingly, to this man that would wear a pocket protector and maybe not have much of a sense of humor, sorry if you're offended. And she'd say, gee, I wonder if the fish was controlling our computers. Psychokinesis. Well, he wasn't laughing. He started devising experiments because he wanted to know if mind could affect physical matter. And could it be time-space related? Ooh, one of the early quantum physics experiment questions coming from surprisingly an engineer. Well, they set up research, and let me tell you where it evolved to. And this comes right back to Jessica Galway and her Toronto experience. He set up an experiment where he would have people, and I described this the other day, so I'll be very brief, listening spots around the world. And people had volunteered to come in and give their autonomic nervous system responses every so often. So they had a baseline. And then when big events would happen or regional events tied to the listening spots in that area, they would do a systematic analysis. Well, they found the two biggest events that caused the biggest spike at least 4 hours before the event. You hear what I'm saying? 4 hours before the event was 9/11 and the 2004. Remember that tsunami? Yeah, it killed a quarter of a million people. Just a horrible event. Those are the two events, but there were others too. And they've now discontinued the experiment after 30 years. But they did all kinds of cool things. I tried this and it crashed my computer. There are two objects that look like the moon, and you're trying to think one object to move over the other, and it would measure your degree of psychokinesis. And I'm telling you, this is from Princeton now. This isn't a joke. I don't know what the results of that experiment were, but I can tell you this. With the anticipatory knowledge that something's going to happen, that experiment is beyond statistical probability that we can do that. We do that. We have that ability if we listen. Jessica established the fact she had that ability. Now, she didn't say, I knew. I think she looked at it as a good fortune feeling. I don't think she looked at it as a skill I possess, at least not from what I've read. Okay, so she escapes that event by 3 minutes. The receipt where she got the food saved 6:20, the shooting was at 6:23. Now let's go forward to Batman. The movie has just started, and here comes James Holmes dressed up in his bizarro costume, throwing tear gas and opening fire on the crowd. But opening fire is random shooting, and she was shot 6 times. This got my attention. So here's where my suspicious mind kicked in. Number one, I found this accidentally because I was looking at something related to Erica Kirk, and I found that she said her friend was at the Batman shooting. Now, she did not identify her friend. So I'm going to have to scroll down here and I'm going to go through the account here. And I'm not saying that didn't miss something. I very well may have. But and by the way, I did master searches on this, people. I spent about 2 hours on this, and it's 2 hours I really don't have. But in the okay, speculation and conspiracy theories, and I think that's an appropriate label here. Reddit said in one post called "Out of the Loop." Users reference conspiracy claims of the same girl appearing in multiple shootings as evidence of staging through this often conflated blah, blah, blah. And they said she was at several events before. I'm not going to name her name because I don't know that that's true. And she was from New Braunfels, Texas. That's for. Jessica had associations. Her brother, a fireman, lived there. One of her boyfriend, not boyfriend, but friend that she was at the movie with, the Batman movie, is from there. I mean, I'm telling you, the associations start to add up and it gets very bizarre. Now, Diligent Denizen, who's done some good work on the TPUSA thing, I don't know if this is true because I could not confirm this. Okay. Doesn't mean it's true, but in a 2026 post by Diligent Denizen links Jessica's presence at both shootings to Erica Kirk, widow of TPUSA founder Charlie Kirk, claiming Erica called her best friend, called Jessica her best friend, and noting military proximity to mass shootings, implying something suspicious. What's going on here? Okay. What I can confirm is this. Erica did say the part, noting military proximity to mass shootings, and there's a, at that time it was a Air Force National Guard base called Buckley, which would be about 5 miles to the east. Today it's part of Space Center Command, Buckley base. Had a relative that was stationed there, and there is lots of interesting things that go on there. I can tell you that. That's all I can say. But let's continue with this. Did Erica say this? The answer is yes. Now the year is 2012. She's Miss U.S. Miss Arizona. Miss Arizona. You get an X account that the holder of the title is entitled to use for that year that she reigns. That's where the statements were right here. Okay. Now, I didn't catch the part where she called Jessica Nawi her best friend. Okay. But noted military proximities to mass shooting, something suspicious. What's going on here? She did make that statement. And Diligent Denison, I apologize if I'm missing the Jessica Erica connection. I just couldn't find it. And if you could send that to me, I'll run that and make a correction here. And I go on. There's another post here from Kurt Eichenwald in 2019. Used her story to argue gun violence prevalence, gave two chances to kill her, indirect linking various systemic issues rather than conspiracy. And this is from Erica. Okay, so does Erica feel threatened? I don't know. I mean, this is what I think is being implied there. I don't know how germane that is to Jessica's case. In the let me just give you a couple wide, broad conspiracy theories that I don't associate with or endorse, but there's a part of it in there that caught my attention. In Aurora shooting theories on sites like Disqust, the media, Jessica's Toronto escape is cited proof of staging with claims that she was a crisis actor. And there are unsubstantiated and have led to the harassment of her family, which is nonsense. Because here's the deal. If she's a crisis actor, why is she a victim in Aurora? But that's floating around there. And I feel compelled to say it because if you go and look at this, I don't want you to think that I believe this part's credible. I do not at all. And I don't think it's credible to say Erica had anything to do with it. And I don't know that Erica is Jessica's best friend, but Erica did say she had a best friend there. And she did make those quotes about mass shootings, military bases, so forth and so on. And this was 2012. So the year is consistent. Now, I have a real problem with the Batman shooting into itself. And I covered this in detail. Because it was in my old backyard. It's something that I care deeply about. I can't tell you the number of years I'd gone to the Aurora Mall and gone to that movie theater. And I've been to the movie theater since the events. And I gotta tell you, when I walk in there, I get a strange, strange feeling. I still have relatives that live in Aurora, by the way, where TDA is now partially headquartered. And the Aurora police do not have a good reputation, and I'm not demeaning all the police there. But I'm just saying their handling of this case was an extreme delay. It reminds me of October 7th and the stand down. There appeared to be a 15 to 20 minute stand down. Cops could have run across the parking lot if or driven across in 30 to 60 seconds, and they weren't there in 90 seconds. The victims and the witnesses all say the same thing. So that was funny. The police also took Jessica's body and put it in their cruiser before they drove her to the hospital. Now, are they really police? Boy, am I stepping out there. I'm just speculating out loud. And did they have to make sure she was gone? Or were they just noblemen doing their job trying to get her to the hospital as quickly as possible? And people have asked the same question. Where were the ambulances? There's three hospitals within a mile of that theater. Okay. So knowing that that's true, why would the police feel compelled to transport? Doesn't make sense. But the explanation in the police report says there was such chaos at the scene, the ambulances couldn't get in, but the police could. And the police couldn't make way for the ambulance to get in. I've seen that all the time in a crime scene. That explanation is horse crap. And I think there's a big open question there about the transport of Jessica's body. And I think Jessica deserves some justice here. And I didn't go to the, listen, I didn't hear of Jessica until I started doing the research on another connection with Erica I was looking into. And Erica is completely blameless here. There's nothing to hang on her head. And if she had a friend that was there that was victimized or had to go through the trauma, yeah, well, then she's a victim too, vicariously. All right, so we have that situation. Now, who was James Holmes? This is where my background gets into this a little bit. James Holmes, this is bizarre. He's from a really nice upscale area in San Diego. How do I know? Because I got relatives that went to high school with him. That's how I know. I know the home they live in. I know where he lives. Let's put it this way. They're not super rich, but they're not living month to month. At least they weren't there. And Dad did work in psychological operations for the Air Force. And that doesn't necessarily mean there's a connection. James was being treated by a therapist after he'd flunked out of his PhD program at the University of Colorado in Aurora. And I think he was studying neurological something, something. And he was being diagnosed with mental illness. The problem is they've hung the schizophrenic label on him and they use that as the excuse not to kill him, but they sentenced him to life in prison in 2015. The problem, though, is I can't find evidence he had a schizophrenic diagnosis prior to the event. I think it was after the event. And one of the things I remember about his apartment, and it's something you won't find in standard research, but it was in media coverage for a brief while in the Denver area. This man had an arsenal in his apartment. I don't know how he got in there without people noticing and calling. We had an arsenal, bombs, booby traps, advanced weaponry of all kinds. In fact, the police called in bomb squad who called in bigger experts to come and just unseal the apartment because they were afraid of what was there. It's interesting. How did they know to take precaution of booby traps just based on a random shooting? They didn't. Someone tipped them off. And see, to me, this is a bigger conspiracy. And I said this, I wrote about this in 2012, and I said this is the sign of a bigger conspiracy. There's no way the police should have had that suspicion going in. So this event's a lot bigger than we know. Okay. And it's interesting that Erica came up. Now, let me tell you what I've done. The guy she was with, who I don't suspect of anything, was from this town in Texas. And Candace has been talking about this town in Texas with roots and ties to members of TPUSA. I've only had limited time to go down that route, and I haven't found anything yet, but I trust Candace has not been wrong yet. This was bizarre because Candace has been talking about this Texas town. Let me see if I can find it here in my notes because it's San Bronfies or something, San Bronfies, Texas. And it's not too far from San Antonio, where Jessica grew up. Do you understand how this got my attention now? All these connections. And with her companion that night, who also was injured, that companion had nothing to do with this, but it's interesting. He's from the same area. So I did a search on the McCoys. TPUSA connections. They have a TPUSA chapter there that means nothing. One person I found an outlandish conspiracy theory that said that since Jessica was starting a chapter or trying to start a chapter on philanthropy, she would have competed with the upstart Charlie Kirk in 2012, the same year, who was moving into serving humanity. It's a stretch, and it's a stretch that I think has already broken that rubber band. But I'm asking for help out there. I'm telling you, there is something between what Candace is saying, what I have found, and this, and the victimization of Jessica. The multiple wounds versus one wound for every other victim suggests to me targeting. And by the way, do you know how they caught Holmes? This is interesting. I said at the time, I think he's PSYOP. I think he's been tampered with. He walked up to a police car and didn't know where he was at or what his name was. And eventually the cop realized right then, holy crap, this is the guy. And that story got told by the cop in the media, and whoop, it's gone. I saw the story. A lot of people saw the story. Isn't that interesting? So I'm asking for people, if you know stuff related to this, and by the way, to you two TPUSA inquisitors and silencers, we're not necessarily linking this back to TPUSA. Candace has made a geographic connection. I haven't made that connection, but we're certainly open to what we find. This is so bizarre, and it deserves to bring something to finality. And here's what I hope. I pray to the Lord that Jessica's family does not suffer emotional flashbacks and pain as a result of anything we might look at, because right now my investigation is not so much on her at all. I've done a thorough background check on her. She had nothing in her background that should have invited retaliation. Nothing. Nothing. But do you want to believe in the coincidence of I knew enough to walk away, and 7 weeks later, I'm in the middle of the same event where I didn't walk away? And then the crime scene evidence that, let's say, is unique. I'm Dave Hodges, looking for help. Tell me what you can find or know, if anything. Dave Hodges at the Common Sense Show, and we'll see you back here again next time. Interesting that Tucker Carlson has come out and said there are problems, and he alluded to some of the problems at TPUSA. He centered on the cover-up of the FBI and how hopelessly corrupt many of our institutions are, including the FBI. In fact, he quoted someone on an inside basis and said, what you think negatively about the FBI, it's 10 times worse. And it's not just the FBI. And this is Dave Hodges speaking, not Tucker. It's a lot of institutions, particularly nonprofits that receive money from donors, because then the donors dictate the direction. And we're going to discuss all that and the ramifications of justice for Charlie. But there's an element hanging out there that has surfaced, and it's greatly disturbing to me. What is it? The American Jewish Committee declared Charlie to be anti-Semitic. And this was after his podcast appearance on PBD that we've quoted many times, that Netanyahu slow walked the response on purpose to October 7th attacks by Hamas, and that he was committing genocide in Gaza. That's on tape. You can see it. I don't think Patrick has scrubbed that yet. I don't know that he will. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. And we are brought to you by a tremendous set of products, ladies and gentlemen. I have to tell you that I owe my life to these products. And right now, 15% sale on the starter pack. You get three NanoSoma liquid sprays. That was the one thing that kept me here today when nothing else was going to work, according to the experts. And then you've got the gel that I've shown you many times. Put it on your joints, and over time, you're going to regain function, lessen inflammation, lessen pain, and increase strength and mobility. And then, of course, you've got the cream that you've seen me use to treat a really negative cut, burns, fine wrinkles. Together, it's 15% off. These products could change the course of how we deal with life if everybody took them. I recommend everybody take them. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. There's a clip out there, and I was going to play. It's 10 seconds long. And it was about Charlie saying that being anti-Semitic is a mind virus. I agree with him. But also, Tucker comes into the scene in an interview he did. He said that Charlie told him, yeah, I love Israel. I love the people. I love the country. I'm opposed to Netanyahu because he tries to involve us in his wars. This just came out, but what has yours truly been saying all this time? I've been very, very candid. And I have said, if Israel's attacked, by gosh, we need to go to their defense. And now that means American boots on the ground, but we have to be sure there's no false flag because we're dealing with Netanyahu. But the Jewish people deserve defense and our support. And conversely, we need them in the Middle East to defend our interests, particularly against China. And people don't recognize the Chinese threat. It's not the Russians. It's not terrorists. There are two major threats. The leftists in this country trying to overthrow the country, and I mean that literally, not figuratively, literally, and then the Chinese. And the Chinese can't conquer us without the left being successful. Those are the two things that I go against. And then people bring this back to, well, Dave, you've done a lot on Charlie. First, I did a lot on supporting TPUSA and Erica Kirk. And only after overwhelming evidence that I kept seeing, I said, I have to reverse my position. I supported Charlie Kirk's TPUSA, not what it's changed into. But then Tucker made some interesting revelations that I've suspected. And he's confirming, and I believe him. He said that Charlie told him at one time he was thinking about taking a year off. He was getting so much pressure from the Jewish donors going back to June. And remember the text messages that didn't exist, Andrew Kovat, until they did exist, showing the division and then showing, well, you know what? I'm going to bring Tucker to AmFest so he loses a $2 million donation. And he started talking about Candace. That's in the text messages that have been now had to be verified by COVID if he was going to maintain any sense of credibility. And Tucker referenced this and he just said, Charlie told me he was so sick of the pressure, he was thinking about taking a year off. Well, that would have tanked the institution. See, right now they're running a little bit on martyrdom, and so they can put someone out there who I think is a poor substitute in Cabot Phillips to take Charlie's place. I think he's a terrible substitute, to be honest with you. And I'm not talking about his talents or anything, but he's not Charlie. And he won't have the same appeal, in my opinion, to that age group with Charlie. And I know a lot about this age group because I spent many years of my career teaching that age group, coaching that age group. And Cabot Phillips isn't the guy that can carry them. Candace could, but she won't compromise herself. So we're back to this fundamental problem where Charlie wanted to quit, at least for a while. And he confided that in Tucker. And he said, Tucker, you would not believe, because I want to have you at AmFest. You will not believe the pushback that I'm getting. And that's because Tucker was opposed to Netanyahu. And Tucker came out and said basically what Charlie was saying. I love the nation of Israel. It's a culture and a society that deserves and continues and needs to exist. Same thing here. But he said, can't stand Netanyahu. And that has been my beef the entire time. And in my opinion, with these donors, and particularly, you look at Ben Shapiro, the mouthpiece here for deplatforming people who come against Netanyahu. You don't have to go any further than that. And he's the leadoff speaker at AmFest. What does that tell you about how the organization has changed? And I've said it before, no boots on the ground, not with our youth. Do you understand me? And this is a growing sentiment. And it's funny with my, I have relatives in this age group, and they told me, they've already lost that battle with that age group. The only thing that remains is if you can coerce them to the draft. No, that's not going to happen. And Charlie was opposed to it happening too, but that's not what the donors wanted. Hence, with all the money coming in, it's not what the organization wanted, and they were at odds with Charlie. And you're thinking, well, why don't they do to him what they did to the founder of Veritas? Just vote him out, which they could have done. I'll let you answer that question. Because typically that's what happens when the leader of a corporation that he starts is ousted by the board you get the idea. They could have voted him off the island. Why didn't they just do that? I suppose it's easier, as Tucker said, to fall into line with a phony baloney FBI investigation into Charlie's death and ignore all the evidence that's there on tape. And it's kind of funny. Charlie based his credibility and career on ask questions. We'll have a dialogue. You can't do that with TPUSA now because we have real questions. See, I don't have proof that any Buddy in TPUSA were a part of killing Charlie, but I do have proof that there are highly suspicious and I believe illegal actions with crime scene tampering on tape that should be addressed, should be answered, should be questioned. I have real questions about his security that day. That doesn't necessarily mean collusion, but it could. And this is why we have the questions. The meeting at Fort Huachuca. Was it a planning meeting? Or have you ever thought about whatever happened to Charlie, this important movement? Maybe it's as innocent. Well, how will you guys go on if something were to happen to Charlie and it's just coincidentally the next day it did? It could have been that honest and that innocent with absolutely no criminal collusion. But what bothers me is the abject denial of these things in the face of a growing body of evidence. So I'm going to say this to TPUSA for you send me your letter. I don't give a shit what you say. I have given you an open invitation to answer these questions. And your financial dealings are subject to public scrutiny because you receive public funds that I don't get spent on me or my fellow citizens because you're tax exempt. We have every right to review your finances. Come on and explain how $4.5 million goes to a UPS box in a strip mall to an Arizona state senator. I would really like for you to come on my show and explain that to my audience. That hardly meets the criteria for defamation, which, by the way, you have to prove that I was lying and I knew I was lying when I told the lie, and I didn't. You need to defend yourselves. And it's really clear that TPUSA leadership turned on Charlie. It's really clear. I mean, we have written evidence that was denied until it could no longer be denied. And I'm basing some of this on my observations, Tucker's observations, Candace's observations. You're going to have to sue a lot of people. And if you do selective lawsuits, you're going to fail. But I think your objective, like with D. Gregorio, you just try to bankrupt him to shut him up. You want to win a war of legal attrition. And I'm wondering how this is going to play with your donors when on this side of the fence, we all organize against you and we expose everything and we act in lockstep. And don't think that's not very far away from happening because I've had the discussions. Do your job, TPUSA. Honor free speech, dialogue. Go with pro-American first positions and defend them to college students. Defend Charlie's theology to college students. If you stray off your mission, as you have, expect criticism. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. Hello, America, and to our friends around the world, welcome to the Common Sense Show, Freeing America, One Enslaved Mind at a Time. I'm the host, Dave Hodges. Good to be with you. And we're going to take a look at the attempt at legal intimidation by TPUSA against an inspector with credentials. Oh, yes. We're going to do that, and we're going to look at the shenanigans behind this. This is almost not worth my time, but I couldn't believe a multi-million dollar organization would engage in such petty warfare. That's my interpretation here, allegedly. And we're going to get into it right here on the Common Sense Show. Hey, you got trouble with your joints? Yeah, who doesn't after 40? Mine started when I was 18, believe it or not. My knee used to lock up on me. We got something for you. The NanoSoma gel. Now, for me, it took 6 to 8 weeks and erased 25 years at that time of inactivity doing certain things like squats, sled pulls, playing basketball. Yeah, and I'm almost ready to start playing again, seriously playing again. I've begun to run the sprints and do the other things and do some defensive slides. I got more work to do, and I estimate I'm maybe a month away, but I wouldn't be possible if I wasn't using the NanoSoma gel. And I'm recommending to you, if you want to do more with your life, if you just want to be more functional without the pain, the swelling, the inflammation, this is your ticket. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Well, let me see if I can pull up a definition to read to you here. Oh my. I suppose I should make this for the visual audience. A screen share. Shall we do that? I think we should. And I'm going to read verbatim for the people just listening audio. Okay. Zach DiGregorio, who's a CPA, Wolves in Finance, should visit his site often. Really, really seems like a good guy. And he probably doesn't need me to defend him, but I'm going to. I'm going to. And every day that goes by, TPUSA shows me another reason why they should not be supported, in my opinion. And Zach received a cease and desist letter. And I think we need to turn this into a increase and persist effort. Okay, no cease and desist here. And the audit, he got criticized big time for saying it was not a DOGE audit. It was a DOGE effort. Oh, I'm sorry, people. This is comical. This is comical. So let's look at the definition of both terms, okay? An audit. An audit is a systematic, independent, and documented examination of an organization's financial records, processes, or operations. On the four count allegations made by the TPUSA attorney directed at Zach, designed to shut him up, in my opinion, he said this is not an audit. But he listed in three of the four paragraphs and points that this was a review of finance. But he said, you are in serious error, very serious error, because you can't use the word audit. It's an effort. Well, let's go take a look at effort, okay? An effort is the input, time, labor, resources committed to conducting the process. Okay, so if you're doing that with TPUSA, you're looking at who did what, for how long, what the labor was, what the resources were, and that would include inflow and outflow, donations and expenditures. Possible double dipping allegedly. Okay, let's go back here. Evaluate whether records are accurate, complete, and compliant with rules. First of all, I don't see a lot of difference. But in the three of the four paragraphs, TPUSA Legal clearly was defining an audit process. So when I used the term, he wanted a DOGE audit. Okay, we can label it DOGE effort, but it was an audit. Stop the crap. Seriously. Seriously. And I mean it, TPUSA. I have offered, this is my answer. You have concerns about me, you TPUSA legal. I have made my suspicions known. I've made my allegations known. Okay, what I am expecting you to do is rather than write cease and desist threatening letters, that you send representatives out to answer these allegations. Charlie founded his organization based on questioning, and we're asking questions. By the way, speaking of questions, Erica asked a question today. What? And it's the first time TPUSA has questioned anything about the murder of her husband. It's almost worth not mentioning, but I will. Because to this point, I have alleged that TPUSA should be screaming at the top of the lungs, and I've alleged that they are not, and that's suspicious in my mind. Okay, Erica said, the accused is trying to delay the trial. Okay, that's their first objection to what's going on. And the implication is the judge needs to get off his backside and do something. Okay, that's fine. I got news for you, TPUSA. You should have been screaming on the 30-06. I watched another video today. What a 30-06 does. Okay, that wasn't the weapon. The pave-over. Taking out the SIM card. You want to review what you said about the police saying they told you to do that? This is what you said. I don't have to allege it. You said it. Answer the questions, or better yet, come on my show. Here's the other thing. I am willing to have, if Zach DeGregorio would agree, Zach and a representative from TPUSA on my show, and I'll moderate. I want to know about the 990 forms, and now some things have surfaced on somebody else inside TPUSA. With regard to those 990s or what is or is not on them. So I'm making that offer right here. I want to be a peacemaker because you know what I really wanted? It's what I said in the first 10 days following the assassination. I wanted TPUSA to greatly expand its efforts in honor of Charlie to continue his great work. And instead, they become a special interest group that looks to me like it's an intel operation conducting psyops for Zionist purposes. That's my allegation. That's what you've made me think after I went from a full-blown supporter. I didn't start here. If I was starting here and I'm money-driven to get the clicks and the revenue, I would have said that on day one, not day 11. So, TPUSA, you have an open invitation. And if you go watch my interview style, I'm extremely gracious, but I will not allow obfuscation. I will not allow talking over someone, and each person will get an equal time to speak. And I think Zach would probably agree to that. We're also going to make the same offer to Danks because he's really stepping into it today. Danks, I got to tell you got balls of steel, my friend. I'm going to cover that next. Thanks for joining us. TPUSA, the ball's in your court. Step up. Step up. Stop playing semantics. And start defending your actions. And if you think all of us are so full of crap in the alternative media, hundreds of us, then come on and defend yourself. And if you convince me, I'll become your biggest advocate. If you'll show me you're really concerned about free speech, which you are doing the opposite of with Zach, if you'll show me that you really want an environment prove me wrong, which you're not about Zach, if you're really in Charlie's mode, I'll support you. If you're not, I'm going to criticize you. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show.